8 o'clock. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Wednesday. It's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. You can text or call us. Who do you want to see the Avs face, Dallas or Vegas in the second round? Avs nailing down their first round playoff series last night with a win at Winnipeg 6-3. Mikko Rantanen with a couple of goals. Yes, and the whining can continue about the Rockies. They had a 5-0 lead. They scored 5 runs in the first.
Yeah, they had a 5-0 lead going to the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, they got that 5-0 lead and held it the majority of the game.
What a womp.
No kidding.
Man.
Ryan Feltner was so good. 8 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs, 3 strikeouts. Bullpen gagged last night. And the Rockies fall 7-6 in 10 innings. Rockies and Marlins today on the team with pregame at 4 o'clock. All right, so coming up, Jamie Hamilton, chairman of the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. He will tell us who's going to speak at this year's banquet. But right now, time to talk a little high school sports. We'll also have around the NFL as well. But joining us right now, she has been named the head coach of the Central Girls Basketball Team, replacing Mary Doan. Raisha Kerstadter played at Grand Junction High School when she was Raisha Ritter. She joins us right now. Raisha, I appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on for a few minutes this morning.
Yeah.
Well, first off, you decided to apply for the Central job. Kind of take us through that process and what led you to make that decision. You've been helping out at Palisade. You've been coaching with the Grand Junction Blackouts program as well. What led you to decide, hey, this is my time to be a head coach here in the Valley?
Yeah, so I started just coaching a couple of years ago, really fell in love with it. Coached last year JV at Palisade and was an assistant varsity coach. And then the position opened up at Grand Junction, actually. And I thought, why not throw my hat in the ring? So I applied for that position. The same day I got the call that I did not get the Grand Junction job, I got a call and said, hey, we'd love to see you out at Central. What do you think about applying out there? So, everything kind of just led up to that. And I decided to take that opportunity and maybe step into this new role and see what I could do with it.
Well, certainly had a phenomenal career, all-league player when you played at Grand Junction High School, All-State as well, and had some great games and great years playing for Coach Sam Provenza at Grand Junction High School. How much of playing for Sam Provenza influences your coaching style or working with Don Baver here recently? Raisha, where are some of the influences for you when it comes to your style of coaching and things you've taken from others that have had great success?
Yeah, I mean, both coaches were great mentors to me. When I was playing for Coach Pro, I never really envisioned myself as a coach. So I think that, I mean, I definitely took things from every coach that I've played for along the way and kind of just molded it into my own style. I'm a super, hopefully, positive leader out there on the court. I'm a really hands-on coach. I'll jump in with them at practice. I'll scrimmage with them. I am a very visual learner, so I think that if I can be hands-on with the girls, they're going to learn best that way too. So, I think just kind of taking a little bit from every coach that I've played with and molding it into my own coaching style is what I've learned to do over the past few years I've been coaching.
We're talking with Raisha Kerstadter. Was Raisha Ritter when she played at Grand Junction High School before going on to Colorado State and then played professionally in Australia. That Australian experience, I imagine there were some things you picked up from coaches you played for down there, Raisha, that probably also kind of shape the way you approach things.
Yeah, definitely. It's a little bit looser down there. I think that they expect you to be at a level down there, and then they kind of just let you play your game. So there's definitely directional coaching, but as far as like the coaching kind of that you get in high school and in college, it's not exactly like that. But like I said, definitely taking a little bit of pieces from every coach that I've played for.
I'm sure that you wish Mary Doan could have left Christina Manzanares and Bryn Wagner for you. At least, at least 1 year with those two players, right? They're both going to go on and play college basketball. And so you come in, though, with a lot of young players that played for Mary this last season. And so it is definitely going to be, like it is with high school basketball. There's always a certain level of rebuilding every year with a program. And that's going to be kind of the case in your first year coaching the Warriors.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited. I'm no stranger. I took a team that had only a couple wins and kind of turned them into this superstar seventh grade team for GJ Blackout these past couple of years. And I think that we can do the same thing out there. I think it's going to take some hard work, and these girls are going to learn a little bit of a new coaching style. But I think that together we can keep doing great things and hopefully pick up the slack that Bryn and Christina, the hole that they're going to leave behind.
Well, and certainly it's a program that's been to the playoffs. Mary Doan has done a great job of having that be a perennial playoff contender to get to the state basketball tournament. So there is a legacy of some success there. It's not where, unfortunately, your alma mater has had some rough years after Sam Provenza stepped down, decided to retire, and Sydney Brandon, who was a phenomenal former Grand Junction Tiger like yourself, just hadn't turned it around. And so certainly you come into maybe a little better situation, a situation where there's been success out at Central High School in girls basketball.
Yeah, these girls are not strangers to winning. They know what it takes to be at a certain level. So even losing maybe their top two scorers, I think that they still know what they're doing on the floor. They all play important roles on the floor. You know, when we played them last year in Palisade, our plan was to shut down Bryn and Christina, and everyone else on the team stepped up against us. So, I mean, two players don't win championships. It's going to take all five of them, all 10 of them. So I think just kind of rebuilding and learning their new roles without those two leading scorers is going to be what we really focus on this year.
New Central girls basketball coach Raisha Kerstadter with us today on the Team Sports Network. And I think you're probably hoping you can develop something that Mary was not able to find. And she talk about it all the time, finding post players. I mean, this is your area. This is what you do. And hopefully maybe there's a 6'1", 6'2 girl out at Central that you can find roam in the hall. Say, hey, have you thought about playing high school basketball? And maybe you'll stumble upon a couple of those, Raisha, when you're out at Central.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's the goal. We're going to go out there and start recruiting from the school and just see who maybe hasn't thought about playing before. It's funny, when I talked to Mary, when she was on her way out, she said, I'm leaving you with the tallest team I've ever had. So I haven't met all of them yet, but I'm interested to see what that looks like.
Exactly. Because every year she's like, we just need a couple of post players. We just need a couple of players that are 6 feet tall. And maybe that'll finally happen for you now as the coach at Central High School. Raisha Kerstadter with us, former Grand Junction Tiger standout and now the new girls basketball coach at Central. You talked about you try to be a positive coach, Raisha, and certainly some of that speaks to when you're coaching a club program and even younger players and seventh graders like you referenced, that That's part of what you want to do with the Central team, be positive. But also, what's your philosophy when it comes to playing up-tempo, more of a half-court style? What's the Raisha Kerstadter philosophy when it comes to the style of play that you're going to have?
I love to run and gun and put a huge emphasis on our defense. So we call it our Denver defense, but really up in your face, intense, don't let them catch the ball kind of defense style. I like a solid press. If you can get them to turn the ball over in the backcourt and then it's an easy layup, kind of get the jump on them at the beginning of the game. So I think that just quick movements, I will eventually utilize a post player. but right off the bat, we like to run and gun, play a quick game, and kind of play more of that Eastern Slope style over here on the Western Slope.
Well, best of luck. Congratulations on the job. And looking forward to talking to you more down the road as you coach Central Girls. And tell Jesse your husband hi, by the way. Of course, outstanding football player back in the day at Palisades. So tell Jesse you said hi. But anyway, we wish you the best of luck, Raisha. Thanks again. And appreciate the time this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. All right. Raisha Kerstad, Horatio Ritter, when she played at Grand Junction High School for Sam Provenza. And went to high school with Horatio's mom. Know her dad, Jim, pretty well. So good family, and we wish her the best out at Central High School, taking over that program.
Another local standout taking over the Central Warriors program. That's two in a row.
Yeah, I didn't want to ask her, so is it going to feel weird to have Central colors on? But then she's coached out of Palisades. True. So
she's got three of the four wardrobes. Probably got a lot of orange and red and maroon in it.
Probably so. I would think that'd be the case.
Now Mary's got the same three of the four.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, played at Palisade, Central to Grand Junction.
Yeah.
Just, Durango worked in there too.
Yeah, and you can mix Durango in for Mary as well back in the day. All right, 811, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Text or call us 970-242-1340. It's a Wine About on Wednesday with Talon Wine. If you have something you'd like to get off your chest today is the day to do it. Jamie Hamilton set to join us coming up in a little bit to announce who will be the speaker at this year's Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. So get your thoughts in today on the team line, 970-242-1340. Once again, we want to congratulate Daryl Gross. He was the winner of the never-ending contest for the month of April. Daryl gets that 2017 CTX 700 Honda street bike with all the gear to go along with it. It's about a $7,500 value, by the way, from Motorcycle Accessories. But Daryl Gross, congratulations to Daryl on winning the never-ending contest. All right, 812, and let's go around the NFL this morning.
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, start things out with Chris Harris Jr. making it official, announcing his retirement from the NFL. One of the all-time great Broncos, one of the all-time great undrafted Denver Broncos, to go along with Rod Smith. But the no-fly zone, of course, Harris was a huge part of that, one of the great slot corners of all time. So another member of the no-fly zone has decided to call it a career. But Chris Harris Jr., I remember playing, you know, was at Kansas. You're going, who is this guy that they keep talking about in training camp? It's Chris Harris Jr. guy. He's got a chance to get a lot of snaps, chance to be a big part of the Broncos secondary.
Yeah.
And emerged as one of the great Bronco cornerbacks, particularly probably the best slot corner in the history of the franchise. Had 9 years in Denver, 20 picks. Four of them were pick sixes. Defended 86 passes.
And was the least dramatic of the two corners.
Yeah, so with him and Aqib Talib. Yeah. Yes, very much so. Chris Harris Jr., there was not the drama there.
No.
That Aqib Talib tended to bring to the table.
Yeah.
But tremendous player. Try to think where you would rank him in terms of great Bronco cornerbacks. Because they've had some good ones. Had some Hall of Famers. Champ Bailey. Louis Wright should probably be a Hall of Famer. Aqib Talib. Mm-hmm. PS2. And now, of course, well, the guy we're talking about, Chris Harris Jr., would certainly be in that mix.
Yeah, I'd put probably, I mean, he's top five?
Yeah, I think he'd be a top five corner all time for the Broncos.
Champ's probably number one. Louis Wright, number two. I don't put PS2 in that group just yet.
Yeah, there's still chapters to be written.
Trying to think. Darian Gordon.
Yeah, Darian Gordon was really good. Part of the Super Bowl teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he would definitely be in that conversation in that group.
Ray Crockett's underrated, but I don't think he's top five.
Yeah, probably not. Pretty good, though. Mm-hmm. So also on a Mile High Report, they have three winners and four losers on the Broncos roster after the NFL draft this last weekend.
Somehow Bo Nix is both.
They have draft day winners. They have Sean Payton because he now has his quarterback. The excuses have to end. Let's be honest, for Sean Payton, you got your guy. You got the guy you wanted. Fortunately, he was there for you at 12. You didn't have to trade up to get him. You didn't feel like you could afford to trade back and not get him. Mm-hmm. So Bo Nix is your guy, and he's going to live or die with Bo Nix and what Bo Nix does, starting with this season. They also have on here Greg Dulcich, that Dulcich is going to get, obviously, more targets, more opportunities.
Did they draft a new trainer?
Did they get him some new legs?
Did they draft him new ligaments? New muscle structure.
It's fine that Bo Nix is there, and Bo Nix is going to hopefully feed him the football. But you got to be on. You got to stay on the field, Greg Dulcich.
You got to play,
Big Perm. You got to stay on the field. Also, another winner according to this is Drew Sanders, the former Arkansas linebacker. That Sanders, who did not pick up defensive schemes particularly well in his rookie campaign. Also, Drew can't constantly cheap shot guys, hit guys late, which he had a tendency to do when he did get on the football field.
Yeah, Kareem Jackson Jr., you need to lay off of that sort of thing.
There was some talk about moving him to being an edge rusher, but now with the drafting of Luther Ellis's son to play out on the perimeter, looks like Sanders is probably going to get more time inside, where he'll have the luxury of that. Now that Josie Jewell is gone, Sanders will get a chance to do that. And they have just a couple of losers here. The Broncos wide receiver room, because they have brought in Troy Franklin, Bo Nix's favorite target from Oregon, Devon Vela and Lincoln Victor. So it's going to push some guys out in terms of the receiver room for the Broncos. All right, so 8:17, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Text or call us 970-242-1340. One more around the NFL. Bill Romanowski filing for bankruptcy. Government's looking to get $15.5 million in back taxes from Romo. That Romanowski and his wife Julie, defendants in a civil case brought by the federal government, alleges the Romanowskis used their famous supplement company, Nutrition 53?
Oh, yeah.
To get around paying taxes? It's now increased to $15.5 million, according to USA Today. Department of Justice says Romanowskis improperly used Nutrition 53 accounts to pay for their personal rent, groceries, veterinary bills, and over 170 visits to nail salons, hair salons, and day spas. And this has been out there percolating for a while in this case against the Romanowskis. He's now 58, won 4 Super Bowls, selected 2 Pro Bowls, and also admitted he used steroids when he played. Shocker. All right.
Pay your taxes, kids.
That's right. Uncle Sam needs his chunk of change. And if you don't pay him his chunk of change, he's going to come and find you and knock on your door. All right, 8:18, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Coming up next, Alpine Bank Junior College World Series Chairman Jamie Hamilton will join us to tell us we'll be the speaker at this year's Alpine Bank Junior College World Series. That's next. This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
It's your morning sports and more. It's the Jim Davis Show on the Team. It's time to talk Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series on the Team.
JUCO fast approaching Memorial Day weekend over at Sampson Plaisio Field with us right now, the chairman of the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series, Jamie Hamilton. Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm ready to get going.
We're getting
end of the month. We have it here.
It's right. It's May 1 today, and so we are closing in fast on the Junior College World Series, and so some unfinished business, and that's who's going to speak at this year's Junior College Baseball World Series. And if you're a Rockies baseball fan, you've heard this guy a bazillion times. It's not really a number, but you've heard him a lot, and that's Drew Goodman.
Drew Goodman. Yeah. Drew has a great history with our tournament. If you remember him back when we televised, back when Saplesio got it done, televised him and Irv Brown did the championship game.
I remember that. I remember meeting Irv Brown. It was such an honor to meet Irv when he came over here.
Right. So we had good times with them. We used to have on... before the IF game, that Saturday morning, we'd have a home run derby with their whole production crew and our guys, and Drew took it quite serious. He could play a little bit. He could swing the bat, and so, but got to know him pretty well, followed his career. He's done a great job. He's truly the voice of the Rockies, just like you're the voice of JUCO, and he was gracious enough now with this new arrangement of television opportunities with MLB versus what they when he was employed by the Rockies. It freed up the weekend, and he's agreed to do it.
And so I know that you and I talked. Jeff Houston was kind of in the queue as well.
Yes.
He was on deck potentially, and Travis Hafner was a gentleman that you had initially approached.
Yeah,
unfortunately, Buckeye Boy's very sad when I told him it was not going to be
a little disappointed.
He was a little sad about that.
Well, you know, we worked on that, worked with MLB's Speakers Bureau, and wanted to get someone relatively young compared to some of the people that we've had here. Not anything against that. It's just that some of the younger players just didn't identify with those players. So reached out to Travis, as was on board up until like the 1st of February, and then realized that he has a travel team tournament with one of his sons that he's coaching down in Florida. And so I had to back out. And so then we kind of rallied around a couple other names and then went out to Drew. And Drew said if he could do it, Jeff would be on board. And so I felt that it was good enough. Plus, he's relevant right now because he's seeing all these young players. And he knows about the JUCO history. I mean, he's televised it and broadcast it there. So he's followed all those young men and made their way up to the big league. So I think the message is pretty good. And he's just a good baseball guy and a good man in particular.
So will this be the traditional speech from Drew? Is it going to be Q&A? Have you sort of that
idea? Yeah, that's a good question. I really haven't addressed that.
I'm personally kind of just curious.
Yeah,
this is what I need to
prepare for. You'll be involved as MC. I'll ask him that.
Okay.
That's a really, really good question.
If he wants to do a Q&A, that'd be funny. Yeah. He obviously has 1,000 great stories,
right.
more than that, and certainly would do. Does not need my assistance at all. Drew Goodman knows how to talk to a crowd. And so that'd be fantastic, whatever he decides to do. And so, like you said, I think it is important because Drew does have that connection to what's going on in baseball right now.
Right.
And I think that the stories they'll be able to tell will be, I think, very compelling for the, like you said, the players coming in.
Yeah, well, my conversations with him, it's really, he's a traditionalist, he's a purist in baseball, but he's seen how the game has changed. So he can really speak to that and talking with these young big leaguers and how they're approaching the game with, different than maybe some of us have done it in the past. But he gets it, he understands it, and they're all top quality players. You're in the big league, so you deserve it.
Absolutely. We hope to get Drew on the program here the next couple of days to talk about coming to Grand Junction to speak at this year's Junior College World Series banquet. Banquet ticket sales are on sale today, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. So call down to the office, the JUCO office, and we have, I think we're manning that Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and we can help you get your tickets ordered. And we're talking with the Chamber of Commerce, and they'll be coordinating some things as well.
Jamie Hamilton, chairman of the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series, with us today on the Team Sports Network. Called Palisade and Rifle last week over at Saplesio, and the new fences look fantastic, by the way. Look great over there. I know that trying to maybe reduce a little wear and tear as far as some games not being played there right now and in preparation to try to get that signage up, but also get the field ready for, of course, Memorial Day weekend.
Right. Well, the field looks considerably better than it did a year ago at this time.
Yes.
But if you're up top, obviously you can see that there's some burn spots and some grass issues in the outfield, which we've always had because we've talked about the high water table over there. But city crews have really done a really nice job of maintaining it and getting it. It's really green. And I think I told you last year when we had that televised on ESPN, one of my friends in Florida said, "What happened to the field?" Because it was yellow.
Right.
so we're it really looks good that way. And then they are taking it, kind of seed it a little bit and use the next couple of weeks, but because then it gets busy with graduation over at the facility and Mesa fortunately has a great facility when they host the RMAC and maybe super regional. So everything falls into place, so it works out well.
It usually works out. All comes together. Jamie Hamilton, chairman of the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series, with us today. And just taking a quick look at the JUCO poll for Division I this week. Jamie, Gaston College, Sean Doty's team was here last year, the Rhinos, number one team right now. Johnson County Community College, Georgia Highlands, Iowa Western, Central Arizona round out the top five right now as far as the poll as we get closer and closer to, of course, qualifying teams to come to Grand Junction.
Yeah, and actually that's when Florida starts playing here for their playoffs to get do their state because they always qualified a couple weeks ahead of schedule. And it's getting down to tournament time, that's for sure.
No doubt about it. Jamie Hamilton with us today on the program. Since Drew Goodman is coming to town to speak, let's talk about the team that he covers, the Rockies. We're having a less than stellar season. Just yesterday's game, they score 5 runs in the first. This is reverse Buckeye, right, of what they've been doing.
Yeah.
Because they've been typically getting down big in the first inning. They score 5 runs on the road at Miami, Jamie. You're thinking, okay, this is the Rockies' day. Until the Marlins score 5 runs in the 9th inning and then win it 7-6 in 10 innings. That's pretty much on brand for the Rockies.
On the drive over here, I heard you talk about that. But that's the first I heard about it. Because it's still, you don't access them anymore. And it's just...
It's mind-boggling. You can score 5 runs in the first inning and end up losing a game.
No question. Especially as you pointed out, the performance by the starting pitching staff was pretty good. Just not the bullpen.
Yeah.
So... At least they're lucky they got back into America after going down the plane.
That's what they left back in the country. Yeah, they didn't keep their passports, so not let them come back.
Yeah. Well, they have a better chance of winning that way.
Yeah, maybe they could play the Mexican League. That's I don't know. Maybe they might. I don't know how things would go.
They'd have trouble.
They might be in last place in that league as well. One final thing about JUCO. We talked about instant replay. Went well last year. I know I probably brought this up last time, but I don't want to be redundant, but any tweaks, anything that's going to be different in regard to instant replay that maybe you learned from last year? Because it sure seemed like it worked really effectively last year.
It was really good with Randy Upton up in the press box and doing it, and a couple of our people down right on the field. It went fast, and they prided ourselves on timing it, getting it going, see what the interjections and interruptions were being, and it just really didn't impact us.
I guess for people that are not familiar with the process, how are the umpires selected for the Junior College World Series? Because I think that I get that question on occasion. Go to the man that knows. How does that process work for umpires being chosen?
Well, we streamlined it and lined it about 20 years ago because people really wanted to get here. And so we asked for letters of recommendation or a nomination. Then it used to be Dr. Jim Pirano,
right,
that knew all those umpires, and then he could call and get background checks, so to speak, and see what coaches thought and those type of things. And so we tried to get it out of different regions to bring them in throughout the country. Actually Kyle Rush and Colt Nary and Walt Bergman still kind of check the names and then make calls on and see if anybody's really interested, and then we do the invite.
Of course, we've had Pancho Flores here locally for many, many years, so...
Jared Ferentz,
yep.
Bolin did it for a while, so we've had some good umpires from Grand Junction.
Absolutely no doubt about that. Tickets are on sale now online for the games at JUCOGJ.org, and then the banquet tickets, you go down to the JUCO office, correct?
Right.
In the Home Loan Building.
Correct. That is correct in that, and then season tickets, season passes will be May 10th, I believe.
All right. So get yourself ready. Of course, we'll have every game right here on the Team Sports Network of this year's Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. Looking forward to another great week of baseball here in Grand Junction starting Memorial Day weekend. Jamie, always appreciate it. Thanks for coming in today, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. It's the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back, Belsky'd myself.
Yeah. Gotta have that thing on. Gotta. It's
the light has to be red. Gotta have it potted up and ready to go.
Otherwise, it's literally shouting into the void.
You're talking to yourself.
Yeah.
But you don't realize you're talking to yourself.
Until you start talking and you can't hear yourself as well. You're like, wait a minute. Oh.
What? What? Wait a minute. Why am I not hearing this through my headphones like I should?
Dang it. We all do it, too. All three of us. You, me, Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
Some different.
Everybody has done it.
Yeah. I've done it today, actually. Yeah. Like, whoops. Oh, well. It's better to have it off too often than on all the time. Because sometimes.
It's probably true.
I'll zap myself with the microphone here. Static electricity. And if it's off, that's good, too, because there's some words that come flying out of those zapped lips that are not fit for air.
So you don't have, like, I've got this little mat over here, which is more not to keep me from getting shocked, mm-hmm. but from, like, me touching the board and shutting the board off, because that used to happen on occasion.
Yeah, we have the mat over here, but for whatever reason, it just doesn't always work. Occasionally, not all the time, but occasionally, there's a nice, good, strong zap that comes through if my lip brushes the microphone. Yeah. And that's a lot of fun. That'll wake you up in the morning.
Oh, yeah. It grabs you by the boo-boo. Yeah,
just a pop. And you're like, whoa. Mother, father. Yep.
Shut the front door.
Exactly.
Oh, well, see, here's some good news today that I saw on the interwebs.
We're that much closer to the Rocky season being over?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. No, we're still in for a long one.
And we got a long ways to go.
This is May 1st, buddy.
Yeah. There's 130 games left.
That this comes from John Tesh.
Oh, I saw this.
I thought about saving it for four down territory, but we'll just go ahead and we got some time here. That according to reports that NBC's in negotiations to maybe get the NBA back mm-hmm. after all these years. And that that first question was, would Round Ball Rock be returning?
It's the first question John Tesh gets, because no one knows anything else.
We used to carry his show over on The Vault.
We did.
Yeah, for a long time. But
very talented musician.
Absolutely. And so this song, Round Ball Rock, if you're an NBA fan, particularly going back in the day,
mm-hmm.
it's iconic.
There's a video floating around of him, I think, is actually performed in Denver.
Oh, like a Red Rocks. Yeah, there was a Red Rocks performance.
He's doing this on stage, and he is jamming like he's James Hetfield.
Just going crazy.
Yeah, I'm like, your sequined, sparkly, bedazzled vest kind of gives you away, John.
So there are reports that NBC Universal plans to outbid Warner Brothers Discovery for a package of NBA games in this next deal. And so one of the questions has been, will Round Ball Rock, which was the theme song for the NBA on NBC, will it make its return? John Tesh spoke with CNBC's Alex Sherman and confirmed that if NBC wins the rights to show NBA games once again, all they have to do is call and he'll license the theme. If you're NBC and you win the rights, I can see some idiot though going, well, let's come up with our own. I think we need to freshen this up and do our own. I don't think we need to go back and use mm-hmm. an old theme song. And that guy should be fired on the spot if that happens. This is like the ESPN NHL theme.
Oh, you mean this one?
Yes.
This is...
Which one's better? I love Round Ball Rock, but this one.
Yeah.
This... I'm getting goosebumps just because you played it.
Yeah.
Because it's that good. It's that dramatic and...
It is so...
And when you hear it, I think... Avs first cup season.
Mm-hmm.
First year in Colorado.
I think the 2001 with Gary Thorne.
Gary Thorne calling it back then, you know, too.
And
95.
You got like Sakic and Forsberg and Blake and Bork and Waugh. That's just on the winning team.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
It's like Brodeur and all those other guys. What a banger.
Yeah, I like Round Ball Rock. It's a great song. It's a fantastic song. It belongs in the pantheon of great TV sports themes.
Yes.
With that, the NHL
second
theme.
Place to the NHL on ESPN. What a banger.
And then we haven't even played. Is this one the best?
This is the most classic, I think.
It is.
Just the history behind it, but I do love the NHL theme a little more.
I think I do as well. I have to agree.
And for me, I think it's partially important, right? Because you don't hear this theme for the Super Bowl.
You don't
really hear Round Ball Rock for the finals. But when you hear the NHL on ESPN theme,
which they also do on ABC,
mm-hmm, it feels like this game is really, really important. This is a game seven.
I may not know sports, but I should pay attention to this because this music's making me think I need to pay attention to this.
And Monday Night Football was that way. I think kind of with it being on ESPN now is maybe, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I feel this.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's genius.
Horns and guitars, drum. It's an awesome song. I love it.
I'd forgot that they did a SNL skit about Round Ball Rock.
Did they? Of course they did. It's been on for 60 years. There's only so many different things you can talk about.
I'm trying to think when they did this.
Ryan Gosling did Beavis.
It was 10 years ago they did it. And it was Vince Vaughn, Kate McKinnon, Jason Sudeikis played John Tesh. And so
I see Vince Vaughn more as the John Tesh.
Yeah.
Size-wise.
Yeah,
John Tesh, kind of a big dude.
Vince Vaughn was like the exec. Yeah, John Sudeikis, he's close. He's a little shorter than Vince Vaughn. Not a lot.
That's true. Sudeikis is a pretty decent-sized guy.
Yeah. Ted Lasso played college basketball, junior college basketball?
Allegedly, yeah. I don't have apples.
So. Anyway, so. Well, I don't. In real life, Sudeikis supposedly.
Oh,
not Ted Lasso. Jason Sudeikis.
I don't know. I didn't watch the show.
Jason Sudeikis. No, not Ted Lasso. He was a football coach at Wichita State, which dropped football like 80 billion years ago.
Yeah. The old Wichita.
All right, 8:42.
Yeah, Round Ball Rock is great. It's right underneath the NHL on ESPN.
Yeah, I think that is still the best theme. The NHL on ESPN theme is still the best one.
Hope to hear it four times coming up in an Avs sweep.
Yes, exactly. All right, 8:43. And let's go ahead and get into Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia. Brought to you by Wrigley Field.
Yes, up for grabs today. It is the $15 gift certificate, courtesy of Wrigley Field. Sorry, I was reading straight from the page, and it says Wrigley's Field.
Well, it was probably me typing.
Bar and Grill.
Wrigley Field.
No, this is our
price
system.
I thought it's like, because I could have easily typed that in wrong.
I'm not blaming anybody, other than I'm a little bit Ron Burgundy. And I'm not going to read the answer, though. I will read the question.
You, Grand Junction?
Yes. So, for our Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia question today, Colorado Avalanche finish off the Winnipeg Jets in the first round of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. How many different teams have the Colorado Avalanche beaten in the first round of the playoffs since moving from Quebec? And I'll give you multiple choice. Is it 9, 11, or 13? How many different teams have the Colorado Avalanche beaten in the first round of the playoffs? That'd be a very good number game as well. It's a Wednesday, so it's a Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia question. How many different teams have the Colorado Avalanche beaten in the first round of the playoffs? 9, 11, or 13?
Okay, first correct answer wins. If you won the last 2 weeks, don't play. And once again, if you win, you are up for the never-ending contest. Congratulations once again to Daryl Gross. He won the Honda Street Bike for motorcycle accessories. We're into a new month, and you could win earrings, a necklace, and a watch. $5,200 value from Zach of Diamonds Jewelry for the never-ending contest this month. You can make someone very happy with that prize package. So get details at theteam1340.com. And, of course, Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia brought to you by Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's original sports bar, where they have the 15-minute lunch guarantee. If you don't get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, it's half price at Wrigley Field just east of Sam Saplesio Field. All right, we will take a break, and we'll come back 8:45. It's Wine About It Wednesday with Tal and Wine.
We don't have any more breaks this hour.
Oh, that's true. That's right, because took that break early. Never mind. Can't take a break.
So we're
thank you,
we're
thank
have
you producer, for
welcome.
Telling me that. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. We can't take a break.
Throw up the third base coach stop sign. There.
Whoa, whoa, like, whoa, whoa! Stop! Hold on. Settle down.
Sorry.
All right. So got one from Sean O on the team line. Team, if the Vegas Knights win, the Avs would have home ice advantage. The Stars win. Avs hit the road for games one and two, correct?
Yeah, I think that's the case. I'm not certain it really matters because they were the road team in the Winnipeg series. They won two games in Winnipeg and took both games at Ball Arena.
Yeah, we've seen that they can win on the road.
It's a valid reason for picking one team over the other.
They are the winningest team in the league this year at home.
Mm-hmm. You know, but the Avs had a better record against Dallas playing some of those games in Dallas than they did against Vegas. I don't like the matchup. I don't care where it's played. I'm not thrilled of the matchup for Vegas and Colorado. I like the matchup a little better, Dallas and the Avs.
So here's how it works. The Avs being the 3 seed from the Central, they'd have home ice advantage against Vegas. That's the second wild card from the West, but would be on the road against the Stars.
And, yeah, I'm okay with that.
So Avs 3-1-0 against Dallas this season, scored 20 goals in their 4 games, including 2 wins in Dallas. 6-3 November 18th, 5-4 in overtime January 4th. Won 5-1 in Denver at the end of February. Dallas won the last one April 7th, 7-4. And so that was the last meeting of the regular season on the road. Nathan MacKinnon, 7 points, 3 goals, 4 assists against the Stars this season. And Cale Makar had 6 assists. Mikko Rantanen, 3 goals, 2 assists. And Devon Toews had really good games against the Stars. He had 5 assists. So Matt Duchene, he had a goal and four assists in this series against the Avalanche. Joe Pavelski had a couple of goals. Tyler Seguin had 6 goals against the Avalanche. Now against the Golden Knights, Avs went 1-1-1, set up a picket fence, winning 3-0 at home January 10th, but lost twice on the road. 7-0 on November 4th and 4-3 in overtime on April 14th. So Nichushkin had a couple of goals and an assist. Mikko Rantanen a goal and 2 assists against the Golden Knights. And Alexander Georgiev started all 3 games at a 3.64 goals against average, 8.76 save percentage. And William Karlsson was the top goal scorer for the Golden Knights against the Avs. He had 4 goals. Mark Stone had a couple of goals and 2 assists. Jack Eichel had a couple of goals and an assist. That's kind of
what. Forget Jack Eichel's.
Yeah, they made that deal with Buffalo to get him.
I'm not a fan of that matchup. That worries me a little bit. I mean, I'd favor the Avs in both series, but man, just the way, for whatever reason, Vegas is a bugaboo for the Avalanche, and the Stars are that. I don't think they present the same type of issues that Vegas does.
Are you saying the Stars are not aligned for Dallas?
Indeed. The Stars are not shining as bright against the Avalanche.
But the Avs are feeling really good today. They take care of Winnipeg last night. They had 6-3 last night to clinch the series. Mikko Rantanen with a couple of goals last night. And play the sound earlier, but bring him back here. Jared Bednar talking about the Avs forwards, which were dynamite in the series against the Jets.
It's the work from our forward group. I touched on this after game one. I think that, you know, and when I say that's the best our team's played over a 5-game stretch during the year, that's all, you know, that's just my opinion. It's an important time of the year. So when you're able to kind of do what you've done offensively through the course of this series, it's pretty impressive. And that was, like, it just... 12 forwards, and I'm not discounting the D. I'm just like looking at our forwards as a group. The work that they put in, the forechecking pressure, reloading above pucks, like all the details that we talk about through the course of the season. I just thought, like, there wasn't many downshifts, and they certainly didn't cheat us on their effort or commitment and their sort of relentlessness on the puck. You know, they were outstanding. They were a physical group. They were determined to get to the net. And when you have 12 guys doing that, that's hard to play against.
And that's what the Jets found out in that series. The Avalanche lose the first one 7-6, and then Colorado goes out and wins four straight to nail down that series.
Yeah, and scoring goals in bunches, too. I think they, after that seven-goal barrage, Georgie only allowed 8 goals in 4 games.
Yeah.
I'll take that's better than he was at any point during the regular season, really. And they also scored to the 28-24 with a goaltender in net against Connor Hellebuyck. I'll take that, too.
Sure.
That's a pretty good run for the it's over 4 a game just with the netminder in net after the 6-goal outburst in game 1.
MVP of the first round for the Avalanche. Lekkonen or Nichushkin?
Only between those two?
Or we can throw Georgie in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it comes down to those two, though. And Lekkonen had 5 goals.
Mm-hmm.
Nichushkin, huge series. Scored a goal in every game, including his first career playoff hat trick Sunday.
Rant and Makar and McKinnon had 7 assists each.
Which not nothing.
Nuts. It's not nothing. In a 5-game series.
Yeah, that's not nothing.
I'd probably go with Mr. Excitement. Nichushkin had 7 goals. He also had 7 points. I think Lekkonen more value to the team.
I'm going to go with the choo-choo train in that I think the career hat trick, playoff hat trick, sucked the life out of them.
That was the dagger, I think. Yeah.
I think that just ripped the Jets hard out of there. Mm-hmm. You know, they're beating hard out of their chest and just like, here, held it in front of their face, said, you're done.
I think because Lekkonen was hurt in the playoffs last year, wasn't he, if I'm not mistaken? He was hurt at some point.
He got hurt earlier this season.
And they really missed him. But, man, I think, and Mr. Excitement, I call him that kind of derisively, but I did. No, he played in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, he was in the playoffs. It was this season he got the neck injury. He got
pretty good.
Knocked into the boards.
Yeah, and then wasn't it Mikko Rantanen's dad was essentially calling him soft? That was a lot of fun. Or vice versa, Lekkonen's dad was calling Mikko. Something to do with Finnish dads.
I think it's Arturi's dad.
Oh, yeah, because he does radio.
Is the Finnish hockey analyst. Mm-hmm. And he was criticizing Mikko Rantanen because Mikko got off to a slow start.
Yeah.
That he wasn't disciplined in the offseason, didn't do his training, wasn't focused.
That's right.
And so that was the case.
That's not awkward at all.
No, not at all.
I'm going to go with Mr. Excitement, Arturi Lekkonen, as my first round MVP.
Yeah, he got hurt against Seattle. He missed 35 games.
That's right. Like I said, time is a flat circle.
Yeah, he had the neck injury when he got ended up in the boards against Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he injured his neck.
Like I was writing the write-up on the announcement for Raisha Kerstadter. I went back to try to look for some stats from her high school career. It's in the pre-Max Preps days. I'm like, that can't be possible.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was that long ago.
Seem like it was 16, 17 years ago, but indeed it was.
Yeah.
So time is a flat circle.
It tends to be that way. One final thing I want to mention here before we take a break, and Cody Rourke's going to join us next hour, top of next hour, to get his thoughts about the draft for the Broncos this last weekend. They do something really cool out at Central, and it's coming up tomorrow at 9 o'clock at Central High School. Student-athletes have their signing day, and those that are joining the military, they have their signing day as well. Let's save this because we're running out of time. Save this next. We're going to mention some of the names of the kids. They're going to be signing tomorrow with their respective service academies. I think it's such a cool thing. Student-athletes get their moment. These young people that are committing to serving our country deserve the equal kind of celebration. And it's cool they do this at Central. So we'll have this coming up next hour. But also next hour, Cody Rourke, My Life Sports, Locked on Broncos podcast. He will join us, get his thoughts on the Broncos taking Bo Nix with the 12th pick.